Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Our scripture reading comes from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 7. I'll give you a moment to find it. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 7. The Lord did not set his affection on you and chose you because you were more numerous than the other people, for you were the fewest of all the people. May the Lord add a blessing the reading of his word.
This is a very interesting sermon, and I want to tell you what the bottom line is that Judah, we sang the first song, we sang Amazing Grace. That was just to set the tone, because the story of Judah is all about amazing grace. And I'm going to digest him. By the time you get through, you're going to see what a rotten guy this was. But the bottom line, I want to tell you this, that none of you in this congregation are beyond the reach of Jesus. Amen? And I want to tell you a thing that Brenda's, my wife, shared with me that her dad told her. She used to, on Friday nights, talk with her dad. And once in a while, I should have let her tell the story. She says, "Dad, am I going to be saved?" As a teenager, she was going through that. And some of you may be saying, "Am I good enough to be saved?" And what her dad said was very profound and so true. He says, "If you want to be saved, Jesus will save you." That's the bottom line of this sermon. Let's get started. This sermon came from the most unusual, strange place. I got it from the Gerald Ford Museum. I got this sermon from the Gerald Ford Museum. The curator, Don Holloway, and I became friends. I love history, and I love American history, and I lived in Grand Rapids. And at one time, the museum director said I was the patron that went to more of the events at the Gerald Ford Museum than anybody else. So Don and I decided to go to lunch one day, and while we were at lunch, he told me, he says, about Judah. I never thought about Judah and his important role, and this sermon literally came from the curator of the Gerald Ford Museum. Question, and you can speak to me, what do you know about Judah? Come on, what do you know about Judah? I see Brenda kind of, well, what? It's kind of like one of those brothers, right? But what do you remember about him? Well, this picture should tell you something. This is the picture of him and his daughter-in-law playing the harlot. That should set the stage a little bit about that. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about him and the family. What an idyllic picture. Isn't it? Look at all those kind of smiles, pretty much. Oh, admiring their dad. That's an artist's perception. It was nothing like that, okay? So if you could pick out, should be able to pick out at least three characters out of that family, the father and 12 of them. Which ones can you pick out? Joseph in his many colors. There's the dad, yeah. What was the other one? Benjamin, yeah. Yep, those are the two you can get. Benjamin and the dad and Joseph. Now, I don't know which one is Judah. It probably doesn't matter. Probably the artist knows who it is, right? But Judah was this is the real story. He was a distant father. He was a chaotic, dysfunctional family. And we'll go through that. And if you remember the Bible story, some of it's coming back to you. There was favoritism. There was rebellion. There was jealousy. And that brings us back to our text. This just kind of rung in my mind. This is such a family. Why did God bless this family? It says, it's not because you were more numerous than any of the other peoples that God favored you and chose you. In fact, you were the least in number. Actually, when they went down to Egypt after they kind of reconciled from everybody, there was less than 100 people. Less than 100. That's awfully big to build a nation on, right? So God chose him not because of the family size, not because Judah was good or the wealth. You hear about Jews. Who's the father of the Jews? Judah, right? Okay, let's look at that family tree. I just decided, I found that the background says a lot. So let's start from where we know here. We got Noah, so that kind of brings everybody. The flood, so it narrowed down to seven people. And then Eber. What do you know about Eber? What's that? Nothing. I did a little research. Did you know that that is actually Eber is where the name Hebrew comes from? Sons of Eber. And so some people talk about, really, we should be, sometimes when people talk about Jews, they should be talking about Hebrews, because that the Jews is Judah, which is only one part of 12 parts of the family. And then, of course, we know Abraham here. Let's take another look at this. I decided to look at the sociological side of this family. Look at how many nations came out of this family tree. You ever hear of Moabites in the Bible? Ever hear of Ammonites? We're going to hear their name again, because they were the ones who bought Joseph and took him down to Egypt. Interesting. They sold him to cousins. Interesting. Ishmaelites, that started the Arabs. You ever hear of the Midianites? You remember Gideon went down and the Midianites. It's interesting how many nations are just, and of course Isaac and the Jews come out of that other thing. What a thing. Let's wipe that out clean. Let's type, what about some of the sins of the fathers unto the third and fourth generation? Where did we have polygamy? With you had Abraham and Sarah and Hagar. Well, that made a real mess, didn't it? And but Jacob didn't learn anything from it, did he? He did the same thing. So you got dysfunction of polygamy. You also have favoritism. Let's look at that. Isaac and Rebecca, they had favorites. Well, did Jacob learn anything from that? Well, yes, he did, but he learned the wrong lesson. He didn't learn not to do it. He did the same thing. Let's look at the nuclear family of Judah's family. So let's digest it. So we're coming down through the Abraham, Isaac, and then it's Jacob. And he has not just two wives, he has four wives. He's like doubled this. He just like took it and multiplied it, made it worse. And you look here at all the kids, the boys they had. We didn't even talk about the girls. There's Judah. Well, let's look at this family. I just thought, I had found this picture, and I decided to dissect it and meditate and savor it a little bit and see it. So here's Leah, and she had the most children. She had six, I think. Anyway, she has her children, so it's my full brothers, and then there's the half-brothers of Rebecca's slave, and I mean, maid, Rachel's maid, and then Leah's maid. So they're having the contest. And then there's my half brothers. This is the home life right here. So you have four wives. Two of them are sisters. Dysfunctional family. Favoritism. Two out of the 12 are appreciated above the most, and the other 10 don't like it. So let's look at the birth order. So remember, we talked about the space. We were on the 50th anniversary of the moon thing, and there was space race between the United States and the Soviet Union, who would get to the moon first or whatever, to space. Well, this is a race on Earth. It's a biological race. You have Leah has six children, one to six, and then Rebecca is just still trying to, Rachel, I always get those two together, Rachel. I always get those two mixed up. And so she does the race, so she takes her handmaid, and she gets seven and eight. And then Leah decides, hey, well, she's catching up, so I'll get two more out of this, kind of vicariously. And then finally the last two boys are born. What a mess. So just kind of looking at that, there's Judah. Notice that. This is birth order. What number is he? Number four. Who got the birthright? Number one. There's something wrong. They burned through the first three pretty fast for various reasons, incest and other things. So that's the first four. There's the next two. Those are Rachel's maids. This is Leah's maids. Then you get Leah's two additional sons she got back in the race. And then comes, finally, Rachel has the two sons. The two big players are number four and number 11. Let's look at the evils. are these nice guys. Evils, murders, incest, hatred, envy, enslaving, sold their brother as a slave. They are said to be worse than death. Lying, immorality, and more. So let's look at this lineage. This is Judah, who is the father of Jesus, through the biblical line of Jesus. There's Judah. There's David, just kind of drilling down, skipping some generations for us in brevity, and then Jesus Christ himself. Let's look at the genealogy of Christ. This has been said before, but you know, it's interesting how Christ walked among us. He did not have the perfect home. He may be with Joseph and Mary, but his lineage had a whole bunch of skeletons in the closet, some problems along the way. So Judah, Tamar, by Tamar, that's by with a daughter-in-law and under the pretenses of prostitution. This is Moab, which was not an Israelite, not in the line. Ruth was not in the line. Uriah was murdered, and there was Solomon is the product of marital infidelity, or basically, I guess he was married by the time he was born, but it's a product of that process. It's interesting. Let's just dig a little bit deeper into Jesus Christ. It's wonderful how God works. He covered, God is so perfect. He does it. He catches it both directions. This is Joseph's side of the family and Mary. They're both of the same tribe, but it's interesting how they both come through there. Jesus comes through both lines to cover the bases because he wasn't biologically through Joseph, but God still put it through that line, but also biologically it's through Mary. But hit those 2 points there. There's Judah in that line right there. Things that we know about Judah. It was, who suggested selling Judah as Joseph? Who suggested? Judah did. So he betrayed his brother. It was his idea. He was among the brothers who told the lie to their father that he was dead, Joseph was dead. Who was this renegade? Again, he was number 4. He got the birthright in essence, but he was number 4. But how did he become the leader? If you're 4th, your chance of being the leader of the family is not too good. It was an amazing fact. This is one of those amazing facts. Is he is only thought to be 3 years older than Joseph. I thought there was quite a bit of difference. I just found that to be amazing. He was the wayward son of Joseph. You just heard some of the bad things. But if you delve deeper into it, he has more. He left the age at 14. If you leave the family at 14 in those days in a patriarchal system, there's something wrong with this family. Either I'm the problem or the family has a problem. He leaves at 14 and lives with Hiram. Now, what do you know about Hiram? I call him a bad penny. I think that while they were doing the sheep and whatever, probably they ran into Hiram when they have to move from, remember in the story where Joseph went to look for his brothers and they had moved on? When you have sheep, after the sheep eat all that pasture land, you have to move on. So probably in their wanderings of sheep herding, they came across Hiram. Hiram was a bad penny, and it seems like they say is a bad penny comes back or something like that. Not only did I believe that Hiram led Judah into sin, and then Judah left Hiram, and then he came back to him. I just don't understand it. He also advised, you'll see he comes up in scriptures elsewhere. He took a wife. Judah took a wife, and was it of the Jewish nation? Or was it as they were instructed? No, he went and got a wife of another thing. And there's no mention in those days under patriarchal system, you check with your father before you marry somebody. Not like it is today. You check with your father. There's no mention that Judah checked with his father. But it's interesting later on. He has 3 sons by 20 years old. He arranges their marriage. So he didn't ask his dad for permission, but he's helicoptering and manipulating the family, and he did a really bad job of parenting. I guess it kind of ran through the generations. So evil were his children that God killed his children, his boys, very early in life. Now, God is a God of choices. He's a God. He lets us do whatever we want, make all the sins and do whatever, but there's always consequences of what we do. But God is also long-suffering. You look at the Jewish people and you say they're sinning again as you look through their history. He's super long-suffering. But you have to be really, really bad for God to strike you down prematurely. And he did it with us because there was no possibility of the redemption of his children. They were just that bad. Judah's facts. He was a widower. He visited a prostitute, and I wonder if this is not the first time he did this. I think it might have been a chronic situation. He seemed to be very familiar with the system. His daughter-in-law and Judah, Tamar, which is his daughter-in-law, married to the first two sons. The first one was struck dead. He was married to the first one, struck dead, and so he gave it to the second son. The second one was struck dead, and he was to promise, or did promise, that Tamar could marry the third son when he finally got old enough, and he reneged on that promise. She was a Canaanite woman, which was prohibited because of their sinful natures, and God said, this is not good for you to do this, and they did it anyway. He arranged the music, the marriages outside the faith. The widower had the two evil sons we mentioned, which Ur and Onan. He promised to Shelah, which was a male name. He broke his promise. Tamar seduces Judah, who was looking for a prostitute. They have a birth of twins. And the amazing thing is one of those twins is in the lineage of Christ. God can take anything, anybody, and turn it around as long as they want to. Back to the comment that Brenda's dad, my father-in-law, said to her, if you want to, you will be saved. I believe that Ur and Onan didn't want to be saved. There was nothing there. There was no light, spiritual life in them. But God is a God of redemption. Judah's redemption. He repents. Repentance is required. He changes his life. He returns to his father's camp. He takes responsibility for what he's done. And you see that in the story of Joseph. Before his father Israel, before Joseph, he took responsibility and he is restored. He becomes the patriarch of Jesus Christ himself. That's full restoration, don't you think? That's just like our God, way above and beyond anything that you and I would never redeem Judah because of who he was and what he'd done, but our Father, Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ does redeem people. He's in the lineage of Jesus. Judah's amazing grace. God forgives Judah for murder, for betraying his brother as a slave, for serial lying, and much waywardness, immorality. God will do that for you too. That's the bottom line. God's amazing grace. God, this is the lessons we learned. God forgives in spite of what we've done. Judah's grace of his sins, his repentance, and changed heart is rewarded with a role in God's kingdom. I think one of the gates or foundations, his name is there. God's amazing grace. God will do that for you. Nobody is behind that, beyond that point. I want you to bow your heads and have a silent prayer to God as I pray. Our great Heavenly Father, we've looked at the story of Judah. What a story of amazing grace. Our closing hymn is Marvelous Grace, and that's what it is. And Lord, for each one of us, I'm no pastor. I'm not one to make an altar call in public. But I ask that the people in this congregation, that there'll be nobody within the sound of my voice, within the hearing of my voice, will ever say, I'm lost, there's no hope for me. Dear Lord, you died for the hope of all humanity and for every and each person in this congregation. Lord, accept, I don't even have to ask you, you do accept for the repentance of the people in this congregation, their silent prayer. I thank you for what you've done for Judah and what you've done for everyone in this congregation. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.